Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
And now, another actual 5-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
I have you, Adam, Brian, and Gina.
Eloquent and succinct. Go to iTunes, rate, and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review, too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I want to thank Tommy John for this half of the show at TommyJohn.com/Adam and LifeLock, LifeLock.com, enter Adam, Blinds Galore, BlindsGalore.com, and Geico, at Geico.com. Jesse Lee Peterson is here, man after my own heart. The book, I'll tell you about the show and I'll tell you about the book as well. The show is Jesse Lee Peterson Show, and it's weekdays, 9 a.m. till noon, and you can check it out at JesseLeePeterson.com, also available as a podcast on iTunes. And then the book called The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood, with a foreword by,
a blurb
by Dennis Prager, one of my friends. Good to see you.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
So tell us about your background. Where do you hail from and where did you grow up and how did it all work?
I grew up in Alabama, right outside of Montgomery, Alabama. I grew up under the Jim Crow laws. I remember the whites only sign, colors only sign. And then I grew up on this plantation that my parents and their parents and their parents and so on ran for a long time. And I moved to L.A. Well, you know, we had to plant the crops and bring the crops in. I had to pick cotton and do all those good things. You ever pick cotton?
No.
You have not lived.
I was a Dacron man. We used full synthetic at the Carolla house. We didn't go cotton.
Yeah. Well, you have not lived until you pick cotton. So I have to take you to Alabama one day to do that.
I'd love to do that. What is miserable about picking cotton? Is it sharp? Not the cotton, but the where the cotton is?
It's pretty hot out there.
Yeah.
And then those things, the little sharp edges in the bud, get into under your fingernails there.
But listen, I'm on your side, but let me just tell you, I've done goddamn construction in the San Fernando Valley a good part of my life, where I was just on a roof of an apartment in Van Nuys or doing earthquake rehab work in Koreatown and went crawling underneath the building.
Yes.
I've had many a miserable, shitty job.
That's right. So have I.
Good. It builds character.
It does. It really does. When I turned 18, because we were taught and prepared to leave home at 18, and so my grandmother used to tell me all the time, I'm going to prepare you. She and my grandfather. I'm going to prepare you. And at 18, you're out of here. And I'm like, well, where am I going at 18? She said, I don't care. I don't know. But you're out of here.
Not here.
And so at 18, I graduated from high school. I went to Gary, Indiana. I got a job at Inland Steel. And that was worse than picking cotton. But I wanted to move to L.A., and so I got a job, and I worked for 2 weeks only to make one paycheck. And at 18, I worked for 2 weeks. The first paycheck I made, I moved to L.A. I flew out here for $50 on Southwest Airline.
They had Southwest back then, huh?
Yeah.
Did not know that. Oh. So the black community suffering, you have thoughts about it. It's they're crazy, controversial thoughts, like family and education. Insane.
That's right.
I I don't know at this point. I'm with you, and I'm not black, so it's I really get bitched out by the Huffington Post when I try to explain to them family and education, and everyone shouts me down and calls me a racist and tells me I don't know what I'm talking about. At this particular point, I've never felt righter about anything on the planet. It's not just the black community; it's every community. When the families fall apart, the community falls apart. It's not a black thing. It's just whoever has the highest percentage of that will be doing the worst. That's it. Right now, the black community has the highest percentage of it, so they're doing the worst.
That's right.
And the white community doesn't have the lowest. It's probably Asian or Jewish or something, and that's why the power rankings land exactly how the family lands.
Yes.
Family and education. I don't know what else there is.
Well, what happened for me, my father and mother were dating when they were teenagers, and so he got her pregnant. And when she told him about it, he denied it. And he said, no, that's not mine. And she became angry at him, but she ended up marrying my stepfather before I was born so that I would not be born out of wedlock. It was an embarrassment during those days to have babies out of wedlock.
Yeah, it was a shame.
Yeah,
people
absolutely.
Were shamed.
That's
yes.
right. And so, but the problem is my mother became angry at my father, and as a result, she didn't want me to have anything to do with him. And as a kid, I had a yearning for my father. I didn't want a stepfather because my soul can only identify with my natural father.
And well, did you not? Wait, your stepfather was there from the time you were born, right?
Right.
There was never a bond with him?
No. And he was a good man, and he tried to bond with me, but there was something deep down in my soul that was yearning only for my father. And so I would never accept him. That's why I'm not in favor of step-parents, because kids only want their natural father and mother. And when another adult comes in the middle of that, it causes anger for the kids because, it looked like that person is taking their father or mother away from them as well. So it creates anger.
Well, I have two step parents.
So imagine how angry he is.
Think about John and Lynn.
So angry, you get the words
anything
out.
Anything was better than my parents. So I was, my step-parents are sort of, my stepdad's not really normal, but my stepmom is sort of normal for the Corollas-wise. So if you ever hear any stories about someone going to see you in Portland or something like that, it's connected to my stepmom. It's a weird position for step-parents, especially if the first parent isn't great, the original parent's not great, because you're like, that's your own blood, and you're not that into that kid. How into that kid am I supposed to be?
Right.
It's kind of a formula that's going to have you're going to have a hard time threading that needle, especially when they come into the kid's life. Like, my sister was already ruined by the time stepmom showed up. My sister was ruined. So you couldn't get hold of my sister, who was a mess at 13, and have a new stepmom come in and like get her all straightened up.
Right.
The damage had been done before that.
And that's what it was for me. Even though I had good, great grandparents and those things, I still had this yearning for my father. And when I would ask my mother about him, she would say, oh, he's no good. Forget about him. He doesn't love you. And so I became angry at her because she seemed mean and impatient.
Ironically, the one who stuck around.
Right. Mm. But what happened was that anger caused me to grow up insecure. You know, I had a lot of insecurities, emotional, doubtful, and all that kind of stuff. It's weird, too, Adam, because growing up, not one time living in Alabama did I hear the word racism. We were told that there were good and bad in all cultures, that we should treat people the way we like to be treated. But I'm 18 now, I moved to L.A., and I still have this emptiness in my life. And the worst thing that can happen to a child, boy or girl, is to be turned away from their fathers, because you turn them away from their own identity. And so I'm 18, I moved to L.A., and I'm insecure, a lot of doubt and fear. So I started to attend some of the black churches. I started to listen to Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson. They said it was the white man, that it was racism. And I believed into that lie, because when you're angry, it's hard to believe the truth. And my life just went to hell in a handbasket. Long story short, I finally started to question if white people are doing this to me because I'm black, why is it that Jesse Jackson and others are doing very well? You know, they're black too, yet they have father and mothers in the home, their kids who are educated, living in nice neighborhoods. And that's when I started to realize that I had been lied to. And I realized that it was the anger that I had toward my parents for not being there for me. So I went and forgave my mother for turning me away from my father. And in that very moment, God forgave me, and he gave me perfect peace, and that was 29 years ago. So I went and talked to my father. He and I became one in spirit, and I now felt whole and completed, right? And I realized from there that Black Americans are suffering not because of racism. Racism is a lie. There's no such thing as racism. It's a made-up lie in order to divide and conquer, and that our battle is a spiritual battle. It's either right or wrong, good or evil. It has nothing to do with being male or female.
Well,
and so I started Bond.
My take on it is, let's say there is racism, and let's say 5% of the country is infected with racism. Okay, all the more reason to keep the families together,
that's right,
focus on education, and win.
That's right.
Exactly. Because you can take people, you know, obviously there's millions of examples of people from all different cultures succeeding in this culture. So the question shouldn't be, isn't it harder for some than others? Because that's called society. Good-looking people, tall people, people that come from means, people that were born in different times when there were cures. You know, Brian has a brain tumor that would have killed him if he was born 10 years earlier, maybe 7.
I was going to say, less than that, yeah.
All right, so in a weird way, the greatest privilege of all, being born when he was born. If he was born when I was born, I'm a few years older than Brian, then I'd be dead. He wouldn't have seen his 31st birthday. So we can all agree that there are many different things, and not to mention gifts, athletic gifts, psychological gifts, ability, musical, comedy, gifts, sings like a songbird, whatever. Good. Understood. It's out there.
Yep.
Now, with that in mind, let's see what we can do to overcome these odds and succeed. And the best way to do it is family and education. So, and dads being around and raising kids anyway. So all the more argument for a dad needing to be around. Like, I'll go. Okay, good. We live in a racist culture. Fantastic premise. Now, dads, you need to hang around because we live in a racist culture. And we need to give your kids statistically the odds of achieving, which is much greater if you're around in this racist culture.
But the problem is the race hustlers don't want Black Americans to wake up. They want them brainwashed, dumbed out, and demoralized because you cannot control immoral people. You have to demoralize them in order to control them. You have to keep them angry. You have to keep them needy. You have to keep them looking to you for the answer, for a survivor. And so that's the position of not all, but most Black people today, is that they won't examine themselves. They don't believe in individuality. Examine yourself to see what's wrong so that you can overcome. And so we've been showing them how to do that by way of my nonprofit organization, Bond. We show these guys how to forgive, to take responsibility. We help find jobs and start businesses. And they're doing well because the moment they drop that anger by forgiving their failing parents, they realize it has nothing to do with color, but the lack of family and the lack of moral character.
B-O-N-D, Bond, by the way, is you were Jesse Lee's founder of.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because, yeah, now we got to find Maxine Waters in our latest speech because she doesn't do a lot of internalizing when she's on that stump. And I also feel this way. We have started. There's two things that are going on simultaneously, and they're flying in the face of one another. The most dangerous message you could give to a young boy or girl, wherever they're from, is you have a target on your back.
Yes.
Society's gunning for you. Whether it's you're gay or you're female or you're Black or you're whatever, the worst message I could give to my kids is you are not going to be able to succeed because society has systemic fill in the blank. You're not going to make it.
That's right.
All right. So that's a horrible message. Now, what Maxine Waters and her ilk are simultaneously preaching is the self-esteem movement and the victim movement.
Yes.
The self-esteem is everyone's a precious snowflake and everyone is special and everyone is gonna, and you got a target on your back. You better run serpentine to the mailbox. Well, if you're making the argument of we got to build up everyone's self-esteem so they can go out and achieve, then telling them they got a target on their back because their systemic racism is the exact worst thing you could do to build up somebody to go out there and achieve. It's doing way more damage. You are damaging your own movement. If I said to my son and daughter, look, I don't care what kind of grades you get, and I don't care if you get into trouble with the authorities or with the cops or anything. You are great. Don't let anyone tell you you're not great. Oh, and by the way, you got a target on your back. Society wants you dead. Anyway, have a good day at school. I don't know how that would work. Maxine Waters obviously is damaging her community by constantly beating this drum that society has it in for them.
They have to because they don't want to give blacks a moment to think about what's going on.
Do you think, though, as I sit around, it's my same thing. I sit around and I go, it's the same thing I have about the Kardashian porn tape. Which I go, oh, she didn't want that released, did she? No. Come on. Who would want that? It's embarrassing.
Don't be naive.
Right. And then I go, all right, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and, you know, whomever du jour, Maxine Waters. Okay. They're scrambled. They're misguided. And they're preaching the opposite of what works. But they want to help, don't they? No. Like, aren't they just misguided? Like, are they just not thinking right?
They're not misguided, and they don't want to help. They do not want to help. Perfect example, Maxine Waters, of whom I call the Wicked Witch of the West.
You better watch it. I'm a big fan of hers.
And then, as the Great White Hope said, is a low IQ woman.
Yes.
But she gave a speech in South Central L.A. a couple of years ago. And there were many blacks there at this church, Crenshaw Christian Center. And Maxine said to the blacks there, the Republican Party wants to tear down the projects. And she named all the projects around the L.A. area. And she said, I am not going to let them do that. And not only am I not going to allow them to tear down the projects, I'm going to build more for you. And she said this, and people applauded, yes, yes, praise the Lord. I'm like, are you insane? This woman is living in a $4.3 million home in the suburbs, she and her husband and daughter, while she's offering the people in her district projects, government program. So she's not trying to wake them up. She's not offering them the best of what she even has for herself and her family.
But do you think if we got her really hopped up on sodium pentothal and peppermint schnapps, that we could get her to admit, I don't care about my constituency? Or did she go, I really love them, and I really think this is what's best for them, living in a project? Because if not, they'd be living in a cardboard box.
I am 100% convinced that she doesn't care, and she wants them there. She needs to keep them there. Because if she cares, she would be offering them what she has and what her family has. That's the right thing to do if you care about someone.
All right, I'm going to tease this question then. Why? Look, Maxine Waters, in my view, let's just say she's your dentist. She'd be the world's worst goddamn dentist. Yeah. Every time you showed up, you had more cavities. Right. And every time you went to her and she kept saying, you got to get a cleaning, you got to do this, you did everything she said. And every time you showed up, you had more cavities. After 30 years, would you might think about switching dentists? Like, what's up with the black community? Why are they going, hey, Maxine, hey, if it ain't broke, oh, it's broke. It's broke. It's been broke. Why do we think there's an answer in Maxine Waters? She's been going at it for 30 years with zero in the results department and has the temerity to get up there on the stump and talk about how broken everything is that she's been running for 30 years. Why does the black community stay with her? I feel like Whitey will abandon the white man if he ain't getting it done.
If
I got an accountant, I'm walking away. I'll find another white guy. But
not the same one.
Not the same one.
Well, due to the destruction of the family, blacks are angry. And they're in a fallen state. They believed it to a lie. And so she got them, she has convinced them generation and generation and generation for the last 60 years or so that it's about racism, that you could do better if that white man was not holding you back. Look,
I got to show up at a rally because my thing is like, even if every single thing that comes out of this woman's mouth is 100% accurate.
Right.
She still can't do a goddamn thing about it. You still should go find somebody else because she's proven herself impotent. Even if it is everything, it's all everyone's fault, and it's not your fault, and it's all the blue-eyed devil's fault. It's all they're fine. You want her to lead you out of this pit of despair? She can't do it.
But also, they're spoiled as well. 40 years of living and relying on the government, or even more than that, relying on the government, it spoils you, and it takes away your natural ability to go out and fend for yourself.
I don't think it spoils you. I think it hobbles you.
It destroys you.
It destroys you.
Yeah,
yes.
It destroys that. And so a lot of blacks are wrestling with that. For the first time in my life, I'm watching adult black men who are incapable of thinking for themselves or getting jobs or being responsible. They just don't know how. Because for me, I was taught from day one to work and be independent, right? And so that's all I know. I'm not that educated, but I know how to take care of myself. And like when I was growing up, I literally have family members under the Jim Crow law, mind you. I have an aunt, she had a husband, they got married, they had something like 15 or 16 kids, but they own land. They educated all of their kids. They graduated from colleges around the country. We went to an all-black school because we did not have that mentality that you couldn't do it on your own. It was never told to us about the white man holding us down. So we patterned after my grandparents, in my case, what we patterned after our parents.
Well, what is it? I'm going to tease this. But why is it when folks like you and folks like me try to explain what's going on to people, we get shouted down by white people? I understand Maxine Waters telling me to shut up. She's got a nut on a $4.3 million mansion. But why is every white person telling me to shut up simultaneously?
Daddy, stop talking.
Yes. I mean, you got to find Huffington Post because that woman's insane. All right, hold on a second. Let me tell you about Tommy John first. Summer's here. It's getting hot, man. You got to get rid of those old cotton boxers. Soggy and damp, not designed to handle all that moisture you're creating down there when you're out jogging or riding your bike or at the gym. Check out Tommy John. Combines the latest in fabric technology with patented wedgie-proof designs. Almost like wearing nothing at all. No swamp-like conditions down below. Tommy John's moisture-wicking fabrics pull perspiration right off of your body. Cool cotton fabric dries to up to five times faster and keeps you 2 to 3 times cooler than the traditional cotton. Oh, yeah. I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now. They're the best. You will not go back. It is backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Stay cool all summer long with Tommy John. No adjustment needed. How about it, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
I'll tell you what, why don't we take a quickie break? We'll come back to the news. We'll play you that Maxine Waters thing, and Jesse and maybe HuffPo and Jesse can comment. That good?
Sounds good.
Corolla Drinks presents Bands in the Sand, July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, featuring Mo Lauda and The Humble. Mo Lauda and The Humble, plus Roses and Cigarettes. The Smoking Kills.
Just another Southern California.
The Beach is free. The Mangria and Endless Rant IPA and Lager will cost you a little bit. Mo Lauda and The Humble.
You couldn't tell by now.
Headlines, Bands in the Sand.
You need to save your
July 14th at Sea Legs in Huntington Beach. Join us as we get it on the beach. For more, follow at Corolla Drinks and visit AdamCarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, as we were just talking about, on Monday, following Sarah Sanders' tweet about being asked to leave the Red Hen restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, Congresswoman Maxine Waters encouraged more public pushback against members of the Trump administration. Here's a clip from the Keep Families Together rally over the weekend held in downtown L.A.
Let's make sure we show up.
wherever we have to show up. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere. We've got to get the children connected to their parents. The children are suffering.
Get a crowd together. I like that. You know what I started thinking about? Hey, bitch, what about everyone else at the restaurant who just wants to enjoy their veggie lasagna? Do we have to get a crowd? What about everyone else in the restaurant? Like, that's my angle. It's like, all right, go yell at that person when they get to the parking lot. Can we not? I want to enjoy my meal. Sorry, go ahead. Jesse.
This is the same person that was dancing in the street with gang members after the L.A. riot, shouting, no justice, no peace. But this woman is a very violent woman. She encourages this type of anger and destruction. But because she's black, she can get away with it. That's why she's really doing it. There's no one out there other than the president right now who is courageous enough to point this out and say that this woman is wrong. I noticed that Nancy Pelosi and I forgot the other
name. Boxer?
The guy from New York.
Oh.
Whatever.
Cuomo?
Schumer.
Yeah, Schumer. Schumer. They're kind of backing away from Maxine right now because she's being exposed. This is evil what this woman is doing. But the unfortunate thing is because there's so much anger in the black community now, misguided anger, they're falling for this. And that's why they're voting this woman in. She's been there over 40 years now. Maxine Waters has no business being the congresswoman. She doesn't care about the children in America. For example, for the last since the early 90s, my nonprofit, we've been fighting to get the government to deport illegal aliens, to put a wall around the borders because they're coming in here, but they're affecting the black community first and foremost when it comes to education, job, health care, and other areas. Blacks are being forced out of their own community in Compton and South Central L.A. They're moving back to the South. But Maxine doesn't care. Hardly a day goes by where there's not a fight in the public school system in those areas between the blacks and Hispanics because the kids are feeling pushed out. The Hispanic kids who are coming in, they dislike the black kids, so you have a lot of anger going on. We even tested it back in the 90s. We put some of the young black men under corners to get day labor work, day jobs, right? The employers would pick up the illegals and not pick up the American citizens, the blacks who are citizens here, because they were paying these guys under the table and they were paying them low wages. And Maxine Waters is very familiar with this, but she would not do anything. She doesn't care about kids.
I've worked construction in Los Angeles my entire life.
Yes.
I've never worked with a black man. I've only worked with Latinos.
Yeah.
Only. And I've said it every time we come back from Atlanta or some road trip or something, and I would pass a black crew working, doing masonry work or yes. road work or something like that. I'd go, why are there black crews all? I always see a black. It is not until you do it for a living till you realize how striking it is. I've never worked with a black person in construction.
That's right.
I've never had a crew come in like, oh, these guys are drywallers or tin knockers or HVAC guys, and this guy's black. Never.
That's right.
It's never in L.A.
You can drive up and down South Central L.A. right now, and rarely would you see a black person working those construction jobs. It's mostly Hispanics, and most of them are illegal aliens.
Yeah, so it's not helping poor black
not
folk.
At all.
But
it's not about the children. She doesn't care about illegal children, nor does she care about American children.
Well, why is it then some folks, let's say, you got me on Huffington Post, right? So I go around and I talk about family and education. I don't take it. Like, my thing is like, listen, I'm not going to sit here and listen to Gavin Newsom tell me about how black people and brown people don't have access to checking accounts or whatever. They can get a checking account. If they want to get a checking account, they can get a checking account. And then I tell them. And then all of a sudden that makes me racist. And then I go on HuffPo. And then I get told I'm racist again. But listen to her. And we'll see. She got some answers. This is some years ago now.
He didn't give you a good answer as to perhaps what he thought maybe some of the systemic causes are that
he had zero. He had zero.
You know, leave minority groups in positions where they are more likely to live in poverty and
I gave him the answer, which is family and education, and we can all get out of this mess. And he
said it was much more complicated than that. But then
it is a little more complicated than that, than just saying family and education.
Not much.
Oh, but come on. I mean, it's a system, right, where it is much harder to get out of a certain income bracket if you're born into it. If you live in a certain neighborhood,
right.
that affects the quality.
That's why you have to focus on family and education.
But
I mean, I'm not Christian or anything.
They're not going to solve everything.
It would solve everything, yeah.
Just family and education? What about, the drug war that we have that's failing? What about the school-to-prison pipeline, things like this?
The school-to-prison pipeline, if you focused on education, I think would interrupt the school-to-prison pipeline.
Well, the problem is that
schools are
maybe not focusing on education so much as they are on reprimanding.
All right, so who are these witches who want to keep the black man down for another 1,000 years?
They use them for personal gain whenever they want to promote their own personal agenda.
Why was she in charge of what goes on in the inner city? But come on.
Right.
Like, she was an advocate.
Yeah.
Why was she arguing so hard? I mean, like, literally everything was like, come on. But what about the pipeline?
Whenever the left has an agenda that they want to get across, well, they use black people for that. They say, well, this is a civil rights issue. You're discriminating against me as you've done with the blacks. And so by black people, not all being in a coma, they're unconscious, they believe that this is love, but this is not love. This is misuse of a group of people.
Well, it's
so
love.
That's why they do that. There are white people, too, have a false sense of guilt.
Yes.
About the condition of black Americans. They've been made to believe that it is slavery or that it is racism, and somehow or another, their ancestors did it, so they have to pay a price for it.
Well, there's a few things. One is, and everyone sort of knows this, but no one really says anything about it. It's like pedophile and racist are at the top of the pyramid of things you don't want to be accused of or called in our society.
Yes.
And pedophiles tough to make stick because, look, either you're diddling the school-age kids or you're not. You may have a hard time screaming to me, I'm a pedophile.
Right.
Because you're going to have some kid come forward and tell some horrible story about me in a van. Now, pedophile doesn't work, but racist, that'll work.
That's in your heart.
So pedophile, that's in your hands. Racism, that's in your heart. And so since we all know we can make racism stick if we go hit somebody hard enough with it, well, then you should fear being called a racist because we don't need to see a dossier or any evidence. We can just decide you're racist. That chick from HuffPo decided I was racist, and I've been accused of it many times. So who wants to step on that third rail? Who amongst us wants to walk around? Who wants to be held back? I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that many of the movies I've tried to submit to the Sundance Film Festival were not accepted because of interviews like I did with HuffPo. And so who wants to ruin your career?
But see, a word can only stick if you believe that word. The word racism really has no value at all. It has no strength unless you believe it. I've been called Uncle Tom, sellout, the N-word. I have to tell you, I've been called the N-word so many times that I told my staff one day, I think I'll just change my middle name. But it doesn't move me. It just rolls off my back because it's just a name calling. And whenever someone wants to hold you back, they control you by trying to cause you to feel good or feel bad. And if you respond either way, they have control over you. But if you don't respond and keep moving forward, then you're going to do just fine. So if white Americans just know that that's a made-up lie and it's just a word to control, then it will have no meaning. We gave these people a black president. They were like, oh, if we can get a black president,
what
we'll
do you mean,
be fine.
Yeah,
the
well, I remember.
And the liberal whites, we gave them a black president. And they were like, we need a black. I never thought I'd live to see a black president in America, right? That's dumb. But we gave them one. 8 years of one. I didn't give it to him. I didn't vote for him. I knew he was a liar, so I never voted for him. But we gave them this black president. What happened? It got worse. The races are more divided under Barack Obama than any other time in history. There are more white people attacked by black people under Barack Obama than any other time in the history of America.
Well,
because he was pushing that lie of racism.
I have a
theory. I gotta tell you this, nothing happened good for black people under Barack Obama. He kept them down to use them for personal gain.
I have a theory about, I've always said the reason it ratcheted up, it ratcheted up as he was, you know, getting into the seventh and eighth year, which is we'd always use a black president, and movies sort of used it too, like as a evolved society. Like one day,
right.
Not yet, but one day our kids can live in a world where we have are so evolved racially that this majority white country yeah. will vote in a black president.
Usually in the world of science fiction, yeah. fantasy, right. you know, yeah. things yeah. are hard to believe, aliens invading.
Morgan yeah. Freeman yeah. is in wearing a Mylar jumpsuit, and he's the president. Okay, so for all the Jesse Jacksons out there and the Al Sharptons and all the hustlers out there, they live in a world where we need racism.
Yes.
It's got to be an everyday subject.
That's
it has
right.
to be pervasive. It can't just be a little side dish. It's got to be the entree. So when the black president gets elected to a second term, if you were talking about any other country and you were saying, well, this country's racist, you know, this country's racist, and you go, well, yeah, but the race you say they're racist against, they just elected to a second term to govern over their entire nation, you go, how racist could that country be? So they were losing a little bit of their grip
yes.
because their grip is we live in a racist nation. And as long as we can keep peddling that, we're going to keep hammering checks. Well, they were losing their grip. And that's why as he was getting into his sixth, seventh, eighth year, I believe they started ratcheting up their story. And
Absolutely.
That's why we became. And then the news, who always just falls in line, just grabs all those stories and started ratcheting it up as well. And that's why it was like, for the first year, it was like, all right. And as he was getting to the end, we got more and more perceived racism with more and more stories about more and more cops and shooting and everything else and all that goes with it.
And then Black Lives Matter came about, one of the worst organizations on this side of heaven, organized by a bunch of radical black lesbians and homosexuals and social justice warriors, right? And they went around shouting.
Wait, where does the lesbian and the... I'm an atheist, so right. where does the lesbian and the homosexual part come in? I'm trying to keep you honest here.
Some of the people that founded this organization are lesbians, and I interview them, and they get mad.
But why? What's the difference?
Is that they're radical.
Says Adam Dolezal.
Is that they're radical and they're evil.
Wait, lesbians are radical and evil?
These that organize Black Lives Matter.
The strain of lesbians.
Right.
But what?
The radical
one. But wait
Not
a second.
All lesbians, but the radical ones are.
All right, well, I'm just trying to keep you honest here. Why does it make a difference whether they're lesbian or gay?
Because
I don't like Black Lives Matter, but I don't care if they're lesbian or gay.
Because they're radical. They don't have they don't care about black lives. They are lying when they use that slogan, Black Lives Matter.
What do you think their agenda is?
It's to destroy, first of all, they hate white folks. So they want to destroy the white man. The worst thing on earth for these people right now is a straight, conservative, Christian, white male of power. Because they've already destroyed the black man. He has no power. He's not worth a dime. The Hispanic man is not worth a dime. The only thing that's keeping socialism from taking over the country completely is the white, conservative, straight man. And if they can get rid of him, it's over for all of us. And that's what happened with the black community. They got rid of the black man who helped, you know, built the foundation for the family. When they got rid of him, it just went to hell in a handbasket. And if you notice in the white family, they're calling the white man a racist. He hate women. He hate the blacks. He hate this. And they want to turn his family away from him so that they can usher in government programs and things to the women and children. And it's over. That's why they hate the president so much. They hate him because he's strong. He's independent. He's not afraid. He's speaking up. If you attack him and he doesn't care if you're a man or woman, black or white, whatever color, he attacked back. And they've not had to deal with anything like that from the right or Republicans and others. They've been intimidating these people. And so they were bringing the country to her knees. Now this president is exposing all that. And the best thing that they can do is call him racist because that has worked for them for so long.
What do you think? I'll tease this question. I wrote a book called In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks. I sort of about 10 years ago, and I sort of felt there was some sort of battle going on against males.
Yes.
And I always sort of like the notion of having females and males and having distinctive roles that they played in our society and child rearing and all that kind of stuff. Not biblically based, just sort of nature based, like right. sort of common sense, whatever. What my wife gives my kids is something different than I give them, but they're both important.
Yes.
But they're very different. Yes. And I never saw the wisdom in getting rid of one or the other or putting them in a blender and creating one smoothie parent out of it. What the relationship I have with my kids is very different than my wife.
Yes.
But yet important. I don't know why that became a sort of hate crime, like just sort of explaining, I'm a guy, I handle this way, my wife does things another way. Together, it's a pretty good combination for the kids and historically been proven pretty well. And kids and polar bears and many other of God's creatures. When did this attack start? And Dr. Drew ushered this in many years ago. It was always like the men. It was always like the women are more evolved. The men's way of doing thing is not the way to do it. The women's way of doing is a better way. But it's really a mix. I don't know when the battle started against the men. I'll let you think about that for a second. I'll tell you about LifeLock first. Wishing someone a happy birthday on social media seems innocent enough, but criminals can piece together that info to hack accounts. Once they do, then they can snatch sensitive data like your payment info. So many threats in today's digital world. Good thing. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. But you're not going to have a problem because you got LifeLock. It's 2018, people. We need to protect our identity, and the best way to do it is LifeLock. I have it. You guys should get it, and get it for your family as well. As soon as anyone has a Social Security number is going to need it and get their identity stolen, and that's that. It is the best. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam for an extra 10% off.
Jesse.
That's amazing.
He's
so
good.
Why did that guy do that? It's absolutely amazing.
Dawson. You know, we don't stop and marvel enough at Dawson.
Wow. We let the guests do that.
Thank you.
What is I'm putting my question on the back burner for a minute. I just want you to tell me about your program, about Bond, and about what you provide and how it works.
It's a good question. I do want to respond to it. So what Bond has been doing for the last 28 years, we have been rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. As I said, Black Americans, not all but most, are suffering due to the destruction of the family. They don't have that father and mother there to be the example to grow and become like. And so they're growing up emotional and angry and insecure. Their natural nature is not developed as far as being able to take care of themselves when they leave home. So what we do is show them how to forgive their parents. It's difficult for mothers to raise children on their own. That's why they need the father there. There's an order to that. And so we show them how to forgive their parents, and when they forgive, God forgive them. So now they have perfect peace within. And they see it's not about their color. It's about not being taught the right way in the home. Their parents have failed them. So we show them how to forgive. We help find jobs. We tutor. We counsel. We also have an entrepreneur academy where we're teaching young men 15 and up. We work with all men now. But we show them how to start businesses because they have bright ideas about businesses, but they don't know how to do it because they've not been taught. And we bring in businessmen who are now in business or retired. They answer all the questions for these guys, and they go out and do the work. We also start a little credit union where we loan them the money, and then they pay back with interest so they can learn to borrow and pay back. We show them how to invest in real estate and stuff like that. And I have to tell you, we have done this for the last 28 years without one penny from the government, because less government in your life, the better off you are. I didn't have government in my life growing up, and the better you are. We have a young man who just started a dance academy. You know, he wasn't raised by his father. He's 26 now. We gave him a job at Bond. He just started his dance academy. We have another young man who is learning how to repair heating and air conditions, and he's starting to get work to start his business. Once they overcome that anger, they can see better and they can move forward. And that's what we've been doing for the last 28 years. And I knew you mentioned Dennis. Dennis did the foreword for my book, The Antidote.
Dennis Miller or Dennis Prager?
Dennis Prager.
Because Miller's in there.
Yeah, Dennis too. Miller did a blurb for it, but Dennis did the foreword. And when you read The Antidote, what you're going to notice is that Barack Obama, Jesse Jackson, Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, Muhammad Ali, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, they all had one thing in common. They had no fathers growing up.
Another guess.
Yeah. And they grew up angry and insecure, and they didn't know how to deal with life, and they didn't forgive their mothers for making a mistake that they made with them, right? So that anger starts in the homes, and rather than telling them to forgive, they say it's racism.
Well,
it's a white man.
No dad is in a I mean, no dad growing up with no dad, I would, if you said to me, you know, would you rather your kid grow up with no dad or get into a horrific car accident on their 16th birthday and be confined to a wheelchair and have horrible injuries? I would really want to explore, like, what kind of injuries. Like, if you said, if it wasn't traumatic brain trauma, but it was a lot of broken bones and confined to a wheelchair, I might go with that over no dad. No dad is insanely damaging.
Yes.
And we treat it as it's neither here nor there. And it's scary that we treat it that way, but it's also, there's no amount of programs that could ever overcome no dad.
That's
because
right.
It's like saying, every program that takes place outside of the house. It's like, oh, we got a basketball program. We stay late at school. We got a lot of programs. And the programs will help, but they're no means a substitute for no dad at the house.
That's
so
right.
We should be spending all of our dialogue time trying to figure out what it's going to take to incentivize dads or not disincentivize them to leave or stay or whatever that is. Let's focus on it and not treat it like it's neither here nor there. Whatever the culture, and in general, the no dads thing is up for all cultures. Everyone sort of looks, everyone acts like the black community has a monopoly on this, but it's pretty much just going up across the board, and it's not serving any culture. There should be a national movement on sticking around as dads, and lest anyone think this is some political thing, I've been screaming about this because I did a show called Loveline, and I would talk to 13-year-old girls who were a mess and 15-year-old boys who were angry all day long and want to know where dad was and how come dad wasn't raising them and what's going on with the family and why there was chaos and why they had more kids when they were bringing them into this chaotic environment. I knew it clearly when I was in my early 30s doing Loveline, that no dad around was a recipe for disaster. Everyone talks about the boys. It's a disaster for the girls.
Absolutely.
The guys end up being violent. They settle things with their fists. They're angry. They get thrown in prison. Women have another horrible, psychologically, it's devastating.
Well, that's where the phrase boys act out and girls act in. And it might not be as obvious, but it's pretty devastating.
It's not all bad.
Yeah, we do get some world-class strippers out of it. That's a good point. All right, let me get ready. Give me another news story, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, Yahoo News reports that after a Minneapolis-bound Spirit Airlines flight made an emergency landing in Rochester, Minnesota, because they had to assist a sick passenger, a woman on the flight erupted into a profanity-laced tirade, marching up and down the aisle, threatening other passengers.
Because they emergency... Well, they detoured?
Yeah, they detoured, and she just kind of lost it. There's a little bit of background info on her. A video captured by a passenger continued even as the woman was escorted off the plane by the police. Police say the irate woman was taken for a psych eval because she told them she was a military vet battling post-traumatic stress. But this landing had nothing to do with her. They were just sort of emergency landing in Minnesota because a guy who they thought was sleeping was actually in some sort of a coma or unconscious. And while everyone was just waiting on the plane to see what happened next, this happened.
Well, play
it. Stop this goddamn plane.
She's running down the aisle.
You want to be f***ing to me? You will see me f***ing
See, this is why I drink. There's almost nary a flight goes by without. I'd have a huge buzz by now and be laughing.
But now you get the big dude to stand up and kind of try and calm things down.
Yes. The two dudes.
Two of them.
I'm in a snipe fest. You know who my brothers are? They're green snipers. You want to with the marine?
Everyone's going nuts. Again, it's why, look, you have to drink. You must drink on a commercial flight now. Bring your traveler bottles if you don't trust the airline to serve you or overserve you. You overserve yourself.
And it went on and on, but just
so are we?
30 seconds.
All right. Would she have made it the duration of flight without going insane?
It's a good question.
Or can we look at put a happy spin on this? Like, good thing we diverted to Minneapolis.
It seemed like something about the emergency landing
set her off.
The grounding
probably triggered it a little bit, yeah.
My problem with the exact same situation would be like, if you think the guy will make it to wherever we're going, let's see if we can get there. But this is an actual medical thing.
What do you expect for $29?
Thank you.
Yes.
Spirit Airlines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sad. I always wonder, are these people married? Are their husbands at home?
She referred to her brothers, not her husband. Who knows?
Marine snipers.
Yeah.
All right. I saw that on the, somebody tweeted me that. Everyone's just going nuts in the air.
Not God. The place to do it.
No. All right. Let me tell you about Blinds Galore. They got a huge 4th of July sale. It starts this week. How about we get going? Up to 50% off of everything. One of their biggest sales of the year. So hurry to blindsgalore.com before it ends next Thursday, July 5th. Summer's here. Keep your home cool and save on your energy bills. I have these things. Drew has these things. I think Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, got some Blinds Galore, too.
I'm getting them.
Oh, Dawson's giving.
Yeah, getting them all for the new house.
Nice.
Excited about it.
Over 2 million plus Dawson windows and counting. Blinds Galore knows how to get the right window coverings and get them to you at a great price. They're all custom stuff. They're experts. They'll guide you right on through every step of the way. I have them in the studio. I have them in the edit bay. They're just the best. I just got mine in white because it kicks the heat out. It reflects the heat and kicks it out. So, it is Blinds Galore. How about it, Dawson?
BlindsGalore.com makes it easy to get the designer blinds and shades you've always wanted without the designer price tag, especially during their big 4th of July sale when you get up to 50% off everything. Go check out BlindsGalore.com and let them know we sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
All right, let's do one more.
All right, well, the University of Alabama is attempting to maintain its dominance in college football by offering a full scholarship to an eighth grader. And to be fair, this is no ordinary eighth grader. There's a picture of him right there. Keonta Goodwin of
Blindside.
Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky.
Well, hold on. Nick Saban's 5'2", so he's actually only a six footer.
He's 6'7". He weighs 370 pounds. He won't graduate from high school until 2022, but Keonta has already received scholarship offers from Georgia, Louisville, LSU, Syracuse, Cincinnati, Western Kentucky, Kentucky, among others. He can supposedly...
Hold on, Jesse. I don't want to crap on your point, but we don't need dads. We got college scholarships here. Come on now.
I thought the white guy was the eighth grader, but it's,
Big guy.
Not Nick Saban,
big boy. He can supposedly leg press 1,000 pounds and bench press 315. And again, he's an eighth grader.
Amazing. He's a big boy.
Yeah, it's a lot of man. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, now... Trying to think, Brian, you've coached some ball. You know a lot of ball. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be great.
Absolutely not.
Some of the biggest guys
who came out for the football team ended up not being that good. They're big, so you know they're semi-effective, but athletic.
At a certain point, you will get so big that if you can pick up any technique at all, you're going to play offensive line, you're going to play tackle, and that's it.
Yeah.
Now, you think this guy, you know, the way football works is this guy will not play linebacker or defensive end or certainly nothing in the defensive side of the ball other than a run stuffing, whatever. People talk about size, but speed is a major thing in the NFL. On the defensive side of the ball, he could only play sort of a nose tackle-y position, right?
Yeah, he'd almost certainly be an offensive lineman, tackle, like you said.
Yeah.
What if he's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm a chess guy. I'm not into sports.
Totally possible.
Yeah.
Totally. Could go full or go both, like Rosie Grier, right?
What if he thinned out and became a dominant tight end? don't know about that. That's a dangerous weapon right there. 6 foot eight, 300-pound tight end.
Yeah. Jeez, what a load. He was 6'7".
6'7", and 370 pounds.
In the eighth grade.
So thinning out is probably not on the table.
What do we project? I mean, what was Shaq in the eighth grade? Because that is a big old dude.
Yeah, this kid could forego football and go basketball, depending on how big he gets, of course.
Well, if you're 6'7", you figure you got to get to 7 feet, right?
Depending on how athletic you are. But if you're a big dude, 7 foot's going to be pretty much sweet spot.
But if you're 6'7" in the eighth grade, will you get to 7 feet?
I would imagine you have your eyes on 7 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If he's 13 years old, he's due for another growth spurt.
Now, right now, he can cruise because, remember I said I was a carpenter? Mm-hmm. All doors, 6'8". Oh. Doors are 6'8".
You're good for another couple months.
Not like commercial buildings and stuff, but if you notice, if you go into anyone's house, they're all the same height.
You never have to duck.
That height is 8'0". It's 80 inches, and it's 6'8". And that's what every door height is on every apartment building and commercial house or just residential house. So if you go into banks and stuff, the bets are off.
Until Gina takes the door off the hinges.
But
that's true.
You see anyone who's 6'8 or 6'9, feel sorry for them because every single doorway they got to watch out for. 6'7"? Enjoy it while it lasts, kid. All right. Shaq, sixth grade, Shaq was 6'6". Ooh. But he was 223 in the sixth grade. Shaq just keeps getting bigger, right? Yes,
we think of Shaq as this huge, big dude, round, which he kind of is now. But when he came into the league, he was about 300 pounds. I mean, maybe plus a couple, but I mean, he wasn't 370. He was a 7-footer, 7'2", 305 pounds.
All right, let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars to your car insurance, and you don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket, save it for a rainy day, or go get four burritos like Dawson and save one for a rainy day. It is Geico, geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. All right, did we bring it home with Gina Grad?
Bring it home right now. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Let's get a picture of Shaq on the Magic and see a young, thin Shaq.
Yeah, people forget how sort of wafy he was.
Dominantly,
but also,
athletic.
He is just a big, he's such a big, and he's not, I mean, he's just a big dude. He'd be big, meaning his build now, if he was 5'10", you'd go, that's a big dude. Man. He's a big, muscular guy. Jesse Lee Peterson, the book, or I should say, the book is in front of me, The Antidote. Then you can pick that up. You're going to get it from Amazon. Bookmark us and click through our site. The show, the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, it is weekdays, 9 a.m. till noon on jesseleepeterson.com. And if you'd like to find out about the Bond Foundation, how would one find that out, Jesse Lee?
They can go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com.
Oh, speaking of rebuilding the man, look at skinny Shaq.
Look at that little boy.
Yeah, but he's still very muscular.
He's so thin.
He's built like an Adonis.
I know. Crazy.
How old is he? Ish.
Freak of nature.
He was in college for 2 years, probably 20.
The kid.
Watch Blue Chips and learn all about Shaq. So, until next time, Adam Crawford, Jesse Lee Peterson, and Gina Grad, and Bull Ryan, say it. Mahalo. So where are my Jews?
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, we'd love to hear from you. 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take an E for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, major events, books, movies, more. Adamcarolla.com.